Okay. Shischa on the parsha for Parshas Re'eh. In the future, we're starting after Maariv, no longer at 8 o'clock. First, we have to thank our sponsors, Michael and Sue Barish, sponsoring Lechvod, their son Yoni going back to Eretz Yisrael for a second year, more Torah. Eretz Hashem will come back and share some of it with us. And good time. Should be another year of growth. And of Nachas for your parents. Thanks for coming also. Parshas Re'eh, speaking of brachos and bringing Nachas. So, the first pasuk of the Parsha. Re'eh anochi nosein lefnechem hayom. Bracha uklala. This is a little bit a different type of chasidus. Not a different type of chasidus, it's still from Shischa. This is from the Yehudi HaKadosh. We don't quote him very often because he didn't really write a sefer which is dedicated towards specific vartlach on the Parsha. But we have compilations from him. And he has actually other svarim, but they're not on the Parsha. But the Yehudi HaKadosh, if you remember the history of Shischa, stalling a little bit so that at least people, if they would come at 8, can get at least half the shir. So if you remember a little bit of the history, so the Yid HaKadosh is part of the tag team that split off from the Choza of Lublin. The Choza of Lublin was perhaps the heir apparent of Rav Noam Elimelech of Lezhansk. He assumes basically the type of Hasidus in Poland, which is very much, you know, in line with the Tzaddik. The Rebbe is sort of the end-all and be-all of the movement. You always have to go to the Rebbe for this or for that. And this was one of the sticking points that Reb Simcha Banim and the Yid HaKadosh didn't like. They thought that every person, every chassid, should have their own personal, autonomous, independent relationship with Torah. It's not just that we go for the Rebbe for everything, but that we should be able to learn ourselves. We should be able to go to yeshiva. We should be able to learn more in depth. This happens to be one of the divisions between early Hasidim and Misnagdim, the Misnagdim, meaning the non-Hasidim, more literally, the ones opposed to Hasidim. They were upset about their lack of focus or lack of emphasis on Limud HaTorah. They were too focused on Tefillah, they were too focused on Dveikas, things that were not necessarily, you know, the traditional means of getting there. Now, there might have also been a lot of socioeconomic impetus for shifting that paradigm, to shift it away from Limud HaTorah and more into an experiential Judaism, which is more motivated by prayer and ecstasy than it is by academia. Because if you think about 19th century or in this point, late 18th century, Poland and Ukraine, what you think about is poverty. You think about small shtetls, you think about the lack of rabbinic guidance, you think about the lack of academies of Torah in every little town. And who has a Gemara? Who has the time? Who can sit and learn all day? So in which case, I think, I don't know if I've read this or I'm saying this myself, one of the great catalysts for the success of Hasidus is the socioeconomic environment in which it was applied. Because you know, the cities that were opposed to Hasidus were, by and large, the larger cities, at least to start. You know, the Vilna Gaon. Vilna was a huge metropolis. The big cities were the ones that really Hasidus didn't take hold of. It happens to be Hasidus had an easier time when they got to those cities because there were so many Jews there, they could just pick them out and do their own thing. Kind of like a place like Detroit or New York City or whatever, where you have so many Jews, you know, no one's really opposing you if you're like just making your own little thing in the corner and everybody else doing their thing, as long as you leave us alone. So Lublin happens to be a bigger city. The Choze is a couple of generations already past all the more intense controversy. But one of the counter movements of Shischa was to bring it back towards Limud HaTorah. At that point, early in the 1800s, so maybe even at the end of the 18th century, I'm not sure. So Reb Simcha Banim and Yid HaKadosh think that they have to break off a little bit. One of the main points is that they want to reestablish every single individual's commitment to Limud HaTorah. Yes, Steve.
What was historically going on then that would have created that that poverty among the Jews? Because later on, we see that they increased in wealth.
I don't know exactly what led to poverty. It's just a natural economy. Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Remember, Steve, you're talking about a time everyone was poor.
Yeah, I mean, when I say poor, I don't mean relative. Well, the professionalized Jews rose at the forefront. In the bigger cities, they were at the forefront. But when I say poverty, I don't necessarily mean like relative poverty. Like everyone else was rich and the Jews were poor. I mean like what they had to do all day was work. And they had to try and make ends meet. Meaning they didn't have time for luxury and, you know, for extracurricular activities. So that's the Yid HaKadosh. That's who we're recording now. He's really the beginning of Shischa. The Reb Simcha Banim, sort of, Reb Simcha Banim foregoes his own possible position as the Rabbi to start Pshischa, and he says Yid HaKadosh should start Pshischa. And that's who really starts the movement. Reb Simcha Banim is known as that because he's known as Reb Simcha Banim of Pshischa. But the Yid HaKadosh really gets it started. So the Yid HaKadosh, this is how I'm going to think of this. The Yid HaKadosh is coming from a non-Pshischa world, right? So this is more of a classic type of Hasidus. Maybe, not necessarily a classic type, but not exactly the type of Pshischa usually is known for. So someone quotes the Yid HaKadosh as saying, Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinovich, Mipshischa said, Al pasuk re'ei anoch yinosein lefneichem hayom, bracha uklala. What does the word hayom mean? Why does it say the word hayom? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from Hashem 39 years before this. So what does it mean? I'm giving you today a bracha and a klala. What do you mean today? 39 years ago you gave us bracha and klala if you listen to the mitzvos. So the question is, what does it mean hayom? V'yamar hu akadosh, says Yid HaKadosh, ki yadua shekol ha-mitzvos she'adam oseh, ochel perosein bolam hazeh. All of the mitzvos of today, all of the mitzvos of this world, you enjoy them in this world, and also v'akeren kayemes olam haba. This is part of what we say, the beginning of every day. The beginning of every day, when we say Birchas HaTorah, we say this, right? That's the Mishnah in, what's that Mishnah? In Peah, I think. Mishnah in Peah. But either way, v'aperos nikram b'shem bracha, right? Peros is not literal fruit, but it means some kind of blessing, some kind of benefit. So he says, "Ochel peros nikram b'shem bracha, v'akeren kayemes olam haba, v'aperos nikram b'shem bracha, ki bala adam taras reva chutz me'akeren." Peros, right? Peros means that you have something, and then it grows into something else, right? A pri is something which is sort of extra, like peros, like pru or vu. You are a person, and then you have an extra person, right? That you have a child. So here, peros means extra benefit. Says Yid HaKadosh, v'zosi perosh ha-pasuk, re'ei shekol ha-mitzvos asher ani nosein lachem, azai ani nosein scharam hayom. I'm going to give you some of the benefit today. The mitzvos are beneficial for you today. They do provide some kind of advantage to you in the world, to be a moral person, to have reward, satisfaction. Hayinu b'olam haza. Hayom means I'm going to give you something today. Bracha. Bracha, I'm going to give you hayinu haperos. Today you're going to get the keren, or you're going to get the benefit of it itself, and then you're also going to get peros. You're also going to get bracha. What's bracha? Bracha, as we said before, is extras. That's the peros. Uklala. What does it mean, uklala? This is classic Hasidus. Klala literally means cursing, something bad. Says Yid HaKadosh, uklala, no trikon. Uklala is really a abbreviation. It's an acronym. For what? V'hakeren kayemes lachem la'olam. Haba. Klala. That's the word. Uklala. Vav, kuf, lamed, lamed, hey. Uvikeren, kayemes, lachem, la'olam, haba. Meaning, you're going to get this in today's world, and you're also going to get more in the next world. Olam haba is going to, welcome Steve, olam haba is going to give you benefit also in the next world. So that's what it means. Anochi nosein lefnechem, hayom, today I'm giving you stuff, and then bracha, la'olam haba. I'm also going to give you extra l'olam haba. That's an interesting, quirky drasha from the Yid HaKadosh. Not exactly how we usually talk about from from Pshischa, but it's an interesting one. Unless we'll see another one from him later, which I think is more in line with a general Pshischa kind of idea. But staying within this pasuk for a second, so we have an interesting diuk that the Katzker Rebbe sees all the Mefarshim are discussing. The pasuk says re'e. What does the word re'e mean if we're going to break it down into its grammar? Re'e means to see, right? Lirot means to see.
Physically or to...
It could mean figuratively. It probably means figuratively. But re'e is in what tense? Who's he talking to? Re'e is a command, right? You shall see. But who's the you? Re'e is singular. If it would be plural, it should have said re'u. Re'u, you, plural, shall see. But if you keep reading, it's re'e ani nosein lifnechem. Lifnechem. Lifnechem is you, plural. It should be lifanecha. Re'e, lifanecha. Behold, to you, those should both be in singular. Why is one re'e in singular, talking to an individual, but nosein lifnechem is referring to a whole bunch of people? Says the Katzker Rebbe, v'hiksham v'forshim depesach b'lashon yachid, re'e, v'sayim b'lashon rabim, lifnechem. It starts in the singular, and it ends with the plural. Yun shem b'divrayim, achein, however, eni yodeh ma'achidesh. Why, it says the Katzker Rebbe, I don't understand, what are they asking a question about? It's obvious, the answer is obvious.
Talking to Moshe about everyone.
No, Moshe is the one speaking.
No, I'm saying
Re'e is Moshe saying to somebody else, to an individual.
Right, Yoshua.
No, but then he says lifnechem.
No, because it's you and everyone else. Whoever it is.
Well, then he should whatever verb he uses should be consistent then.
No.
It should be u
no same. To you, about yeah. You leading this group, I will say.
No, you would.
Mm-hmm.
No. Lahem. No, you should have. It should be lahem. Yeah.
No, but I'm
lifnechem.
Well,
then he should be included in the verb too.
No, because he's only speaking to one person.
Well, then he shouldn't say lifnechem. You should say lifanecha.
No, because it's not only...
You can't have it both ways.
No.
Not the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking...
Rabbi, about all of you.
Okay, so then you should say re'e lifanecha or re'u lifnechem. Why should you change in the middle of your sentence?
Re'u would be if I'm talking to the bunch of people.
What he's saying is
yeah.
One person...
But I'm only speaking to one person about... That he's included in.
If it's about the group, so not to the group or about the group?
About the group.
About the group should be lifnechem.
No, because he's included in the group.
That's tough. That's tough. That's tough. Yeah, Saul first. Hold on, give me Saul first.
Sorry. Maybe Re'e, it talked to the individual, but each person has a different interpretation of what Re'e is, and therefore it's plural in the end.
What? Okay, we're gonna talk to something like that in a second. So hold on to that thought. You're thinking Hasidic, which is good. No, yeah, Michael.
It could be off, but I thought it meant when he spoke Re'e singular, it was your generation, just this generation.
Yeah.
All future generations.
So simple understanding would be that Re'e is referring to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Lifnechem is talking about everyone in Klal Yisrael. How exactly you have to parse that is not easy, but he says over here, "Mahu achirish b'davar halo nesinas haTorah, the giving of the Torah shavehu l'kol ish Yisrael, the giving of the Torah is to everybody. No sein lifnechem, I'm giving the same thing to everybody. However, aval haraayon v'hahitzbonenut ba, but the thinking about the seeing of the Torah." Who kemadregas kol echad la'atzmo ulechol ish Yisrael hamila re'ei yesh lamuvan lefi madregaso. Meaning, every person has to see differently. Every person does see differently. No sein lifnechem, I give you something in front of everybody, to everyone, but re'ei means every individual has to see it in their own way. Every individual has to apply it to their own life. Right, so there are always two elements of a gift. There's the giver and then there's the receiver. From the giver's perspective, he's giving everyone the same thing, right? Like the famous Oprah, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. But how does the person receive that gift is a different story. How are they going to use that car? They might use, one person might use the car to go drive cross country. Another person might use the car and resell it on the market. Another person might use the car to drive it back and forth to their local job. So everyone uses the car differently. So that's the re'eh. Re'eh is individual. Every person brings the Torah into their lives in a different way. So that's why it's individual, re'eh. You individually have to take it upon yourself to apply the Torah in your life. But in terms of the Nesina, in terms of the giving of the Torah, that's lifneichem. Everyone gets the same Torah. Right? We all have the same Torah. The question is just which parts of the Torah speak to us, which parts of the Torah are meaningful, which parts of the Torah do we connect to. Right? And that's partly why we have a Hasidus year in Shul. Right? And partly why I enjoy Hasidus, because sometimes in my life I liked brisker lumdus. Some days during the week I like brisker lumdus. And other days during the week when I want to get ready for Shabbos, I like Hasidus on the Parsha. So different people take things different ways, different times of their lives. And so therefore, says the Katzke Rebbe, that's why it says Re'eh. Re'eh is Milash and Hisbonenus. That you, individual, have to look at things in your own way. Okay, but no, same Lifneichem, everyone gets the same Torah. The next Pasuk says, Es HaBracha. The bracha that you're going to get, what is this bracha? Right, he says, I'm giving before you a bracha and a klala. Es HaBracha, Asher Tishmu'u al Mitzvot HaShem Okech, Asher Nechim Mitzvah Eschem. Number one, the bracha is, if you keep the Torah, you'll get rewarded. That's the bracha. But it's an interesting way of saying it. Es HaBracha should be, Es HaBracha that you get schar. Es HaBracha that you get olam haba. Es HaBracha that you get some kind of benefit in olam hazeh. But it says, Es HaBracha, asher tishmu. Es HaBracha doesn't mean, Es HaBracha means this is the bracha, but then it says, if you listen, right? The word asher. It really should be the word im, if you listen. Says the Sfasem, it's a beautiful idea. It's not true. The bracha is listening. Asher doesn't mean if, it means that you listen. Es HaBracha, asher tishmu. What's the bracha? The ability to listen. Says the Sfasem, Hashmiya hi kli machzik bracha. The bracha is, or he says, kli machzik bracha, that listening is how you're going to get the bracha. V'yamru chazal, chirshu nosin lo dmei kulo, perish rashi she'im eno shamea, eno ra'u l'klum. If you can't listen, you don't get anything. Im kein hashmiya hi shlemus ha'adam. Listening, the ability to listen, is what is going to complete you as a person. V'nei ho'olam haza eno b'shlemus. This world is not complete, it's incomplete, it's an incomplete world. V'adam shu b'tachlis habriya nivra rak l'shmo dvar Hashem. Our purpose in this world is to grow. And the way we grow is by listening. Listening to the words of Hashem. Shehi kli mucham l'kavo shefa chasto yisbarach. Uchvi ha-hachana shalo lishmo mitzvah satar b'kach shalem muso. U'mezeh zoche l'kavo ha-brachos. To the extent that you're able and willing to listen, that's the extent that you're able to get the bracha. The bracha will come to those who are willing to listen. Anyone who thinks that they already know what they need to know, and they're not going to listen anymore, so then they're not going to get any bracha. Because the purpose of Torah and mitzvos is the ability to learn from others, right? Ezahu chacham halomed mikol adam. Right? The one who is wise is the one that's willing to listen to everyone. If you're the one who thinks you already know everything, so then you're not going to get the bracha of Torah and mitzvos. Because you think you're already made. You're already made in the shade, right? You don't have to do anything else. So says the Sfas Emes, that is the way you get the bracha. Es HaBracha Asher Tishmu. You'll get the bracha when you listen. If you listen and you're willing to accept the opinion of others, you're open-minded enough to think that other people might know something that you don't know, so then you'll get the bracha. And lastly, going back to Yid HaKadosh, and interesting, really later in the parsha, a lot of different mitzvos, but not as many Hasidic drushes than the first pasuk, first few pasukim. The pasuk says later on for Shemitah. Shemitah is coming up in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure Yoni is going to have to figure out all those different halachas when he goes there. Because starting with Tishrei, there's going to be a whole slew of restrictions as to what you can eat, when you can eat it, and where you, how do you dispose of it after you're done eating it.
Is that Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur?
I believe it starts Rosh Hashanah. You think it starts Yom Kippur?
I don't remember.
Yom Kippur is when you freed the slaves.
That's
when they did the slaves was freed. I'm not sure if that's when the... You might be right. I don't remember. Right, in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara's in Rosh Hashanah talk about...
Rosh Hashanah, or is it Shavuos before?
Oh, well, there are some things that... Well, that's in terms of the growth process.
Yeah.
Either way, so it says, V'lo yeira levavcha besitzchalo. And, you know, there's a halacha called Shemitah Sksafim. We often think of Shemitah in terms of the food, but other things happen during Shemitah too, which is, you know, any debts get annulled. Any debts are canceled. So maybe you would think, well, it's a month before Shemitah. I'm not going to give anybody any money, because who knows if I'm going to ever get it back. He's not going to pay me back within 30 days, in which case, I'm going to be out, I'm going to be out all that money. So the pasuk says, "Lo yeira levavcha besitzchalo." Don't be so bitter when it comes to giving out the tzedakah. So he says, "B'shem harav hakadosh haYehudi, the Yid hakadosh, mipshischa shemati shehaya omer al pasuk v'lo yeira levavcha besitzchalo perish im lo yiyeh biyadcha lases. If you don't have a lot of money, let's say you just don't have a lot of money to give, lases nedava gadola, to give a big donation, to give someone tzedakah." Therefore, you might think, well, what's my money going to do? You know, $5, that's not going to be that much money. That's not going to be that big of a help. Al yipol levavcha avor zeh. What does it mean? V'lo yeira levavcha besitzchalo. Don't be bitter when you give, meaning don't ever think that your contribution is not important. Rak tite nidvas yadcha v'yenechshav etzal Hashem yisbarach ki'ilan asata harbe. Hashem knows that to you, that's a lot of money. And that's what matters. It's not about how much the poor person gets. It's about how much you're willing to give, you're able to give, and you nonetheless give. That's really the benchmark of how you should think about tzedakah. Because we often think about tzedakah about who gets this big of a plaque and who gets that big of an honor. But it has nothing to do with the mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah is what are you able to give and what are you giving. And that's what Hashem is looking for. So says the Yid HaKadosh, that's what it means. V'lo yeira levavcha. Don't be degrading. Don't put yourself down because you can only give $5. Don't put yourself down because you can only give $18. If you can give more, you should give more. Before Gil hurts me. But the point is, if you have to give less, so then don't feel bad about giving less. That's important too. I remember, you know, running. Don't tell Gil this. But I remember running fundraisers in Kansas for the institution that I ran, the Kollel of Kansas City. And people say, yeah. What? Yeah, right. You should see how difficult it was. But either way, the point is, I would call people up and I'd say, give whatever you want. This is not, this campaign is not about making money. It's about getting people involved, getting people to support Torah. And people would give $10, $18. Would it get me to my bottom line? No. But it would get me to be involved with them, and them being involved with Torah and mitzvot, and that's important too, regardless of how much money you're giving. So lo yeira levavcha, but the people on the phone would say, I can't, you know, I'm not going to give you that much. I'm sorry. So don't say sorry. That's a good thing. I want you to give whatever you can give. Lo yeira levavcha. You should never degrade yourself into thinking that your tzedakah is not important. Whatever you can give and you do give is important. This is relevant also to one of my favorite Malbims. I don't know many Malbims, so that's why it's probably one of my favorites. But the Malbim explains by the farmer. It's coming up in Parshas Kisavo, I believe, where the Kohen takes the Hatena Miyadecha. He takes the basket. And the Mishnah says that the Kohen keeps the baskets of the poor people, and he gives back the baskets of the rich people. I think we learned this after Shacharis one time, a few months ago, that the poor person brings this beautiful golden basket and gives it to the Kohen. Kohen says, you could have that back. But the rich person gives the golden basket. He says, you could have that back. The poor person, he gives him a wicker basket that he had to slave over and make out of the materials he had on his own farm. And the Kohen says, I'm going to keep this. So the Gemara says something like, poverty follows the poor. Right? You can't catch a break. The Kohen's going to take his basket too. So that's not the point, says the Malbim. The point is, Hashem wants that basket. He doesn't want the basket that some rich guy hired some fancy florist to send him with all his Meister Shani stuff in it. He doesn't want the guy who sent his aide to go buy a basket from the marketplace. He wants the guy that got on his hands and knees and put the basket together himself. That's the basket that Hashem wants. The one who really put in effort and for whom it's difficult to give a basket. So that's the one. That's the one that Hashem wants. The same thing here. V'lo yira levav chabesitz chalol. Don't think that it's any less to Hashem when you give money. If not, if anything, it should be more. That even though you don't have much money, you're still willing to give. You're still willing to look out for another person. That's the most important one. Okay, shkayach. From now on, Shishkan Parsha is taking place after Maariv. After Maariv. So keep an eye on when Maariv is. When Mincha and Maariv is. Mincha is usually about 35 minutes. So we'll probably start 40 minutes whenever after Mincha. Next week, Mincha is 6:50. So then Shishkan will start at 7:30. Okay? Shkayach Rabosai. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you. Not the first week, but we can still do a